Stories and content in Weird Darkness can be disturbing for some listeners and is intended for mature audiences only. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
Danny looked down at his shoes, their laces starting to fray at the ends. They were his older brother's hand-me-downs. He sighed, frustrated at his unfortunate lack of style from always being given Aiden's outgrown clothes. Luckily, Danny was known throughout the neighborhood as the best babysitter around. Little girls loved to make him dress up and paint his nails. He always acquiesced, hoping it would get him a slightly higher wage, or at the very least, more referrals. He would stop at nothing to get a new pair of sneakers he picked out. Danny was just putting his latest earnings in a mason jar marked New Kicks. It was about three-quarters of the way full. Mostly ones, some fives, and the occasional $10 bill is inside. One more gig, Danny thought. One more gig. And I'll be through with tea parties and nail polish for good. Just then, Danny's mom, Mrs. Peterson, called to him. He popped his head out the doorway.
"Hmm?"
"Sweetie, that was Mrs. Hughes on the phone. She asked if you were free Friday night to watch her little girl Penny. After this one, you should be able to get those new shoes you've been eyeing up, huh?"
Danny sighs. One more Friday night, a precious Friday night that could be spent hanging with… Oh, God. Who am I kidding? I'm a fluffy 17-year-old with peach fuzz and braces, stuck wearing clothes from 5 years ago. I can sacrifice one Friday night with my only two friends. "Sure, Mom, I'll go." That ought to do it. Saturday begins the new Danny. The Danny Peterson who has his own style. Danny Peterson who struts into the mall, gets his new shoes, the Nike Air Max 270 ENG with its cool silver body and blue accent, and walks out a new man. Welcome, Weirdos. I'm Darren Marlar, and this is Weird Darkness. Here you'll find stories of the paranormal, supernatural, legends, lore, crime, conspiracy, mysterious, macabre, unsolved, and unexplained. Coming up in this episode of Weird Darkness, it's April 1st, All Fools' Day. But rather than doing a prank episode, as many other podcasts will most assuredly be doing today, I thought I'd take a slightly different route and instead tell a story that's both dark and comedic. It's a tale created specifically for this April Fool's Day episode, written by Mary Eisenberger, adapted from an original story by Nicholas Paul Pontosky. It's called Why Are You So Possessed With Me? Now, bolt your doors, lock your windows, turn off your lights, and come with me into the weird darkness. This episode of Weird Darkness is dedicated to each and every doctor, nurse, and health worker putting his or her life at risk to save the lives of others. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You are the unwavering frontline soldiers, angels, and heroes in this war. Friday night came quickly. Danny, having finished his homework, began to walk up the three blocks to the Hughes residence. The stroll was more activity than he'd been used to. Panting, he stopped by the neighbor's fence to catch his breath, where a little chihuahua was jumping and barking nonstop. "Hey, little guy, can I pet you?" Danny reached through the fence to pat the little pup on the head. It snarled and nipped at his finger, drawing blood.
"Ow!"
Danny backed away. It felt like the dog somehow enjoyed inflicting pain on him. "Rude!" he calls out, as if the dog understood what he was talking about. Danny continued heavily breathing as he approached the driveway where Mr. and Mrs. Hughes had just stepped outside, and a young red-headed girl, about 6 years old, was holding a hairbrush, brushing the air and singing a song. Mr. Hughes was tall and lean, clad in khaki, the average bland white man's date night attire. Mrs. Hughes was petite but slender. She was very pretty but had a little lipstick stuck on her teeth. Danny couldn't stop staring as they gave him the rundown of the evening, but he was too afraid to say something about it. That would be a terrible first impression, Danny thought. I can't just say, "Hi, I'm Danny, you have lipstick on your teeth," could I? If I don't say anything and she notices later, will she think I'm an ass for not telling her? If I do tell her, will she think I'm an ass for not letting her finish speaking? I wonder if she's wearing fancy underwear. Do moms and dads still do that? Oh God, do my mom and dad still do that? Gross. I wonder what… Danny, does that sound all right? Mrs. Hughes interrupted his thoughts. In a knee-jerk reaction, Danny replied, "Yep, A-okay." He motioned the OK sign with his hands, noticed what he was doing, and put his hand in his pocket, slightly embarrassed. A-OK? Who am I, a 90s Disney sitcom dad? Remember, feel free to do homework while you're here. You're welcome to use our laptop, make sure you give Penny dinner, and we'll be back by 10:30. Oh, and remember what I told you about… Mrs. Hughes mouths something completely incomprehensible. Danny just smiles and nods. Crap, did I miss something? Before Danny could ask what she meant, Mr. and Mrs. Hughes were in the car and driving away. He waved weakly. Then the sound of someone very small clearing their throat caught his attention. He turned around to see Penny, staring up at him with her big green eyes. She tugged on the hem of his shirt shyly. "Why, hello, Penny. I'm Danny." She smiled sweetly, swaying back and forth, her shyness melting away. "Hi, Danny. Aren't you going to say hi to my friend, too? It would be rude to ignore her." Danny was surprised by her poise at such a young age. "Why, of course." He turned slightly to the right of Penny. "She's over here. What are you, blind?" said Penny, jerking a thumb to her other side. "Her name is Susie." "Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I wouldn't dream of being rude." "Hello, Susie," he sighed. "So, what's first? Tea party? Dress up? Painting nails?" Penny put some real thought into this, then turned and whispered to Susie, staring at Danny and giggling. Danny laughed nervously. He wondered what embarrassing little girls' games he'd be doing tonight. He looked over and she was still whispering. Danny felt a little creeped out but quickly shrugged it off. Lots of kids have imaginary friends. "Can we color?" Penny asked sweetly. "Coloring sounds great! Do you have a coloring book?" Danny asked. "I'll go get some." She ran into a room and came back, arms full of Disney princess coloring books and boxes of crayons. She splayed them out on the floor. A few minutes later, they stopped and compared drawings. Penny's were mostly colored with black crayon. "Do you want any other colors? There are plenty over here." Danny points to the large pile of assorted crayons next to them. Penny shakes her head. "Susie doesn't like the other colors very much. They give her a headache." Danny takes a closer look. All the princess's eyes are colored in, completely black, and expanded past their usual lines. "What are their sharp teeth for?" Danny points to the jagged teeth Penny gave Belle and Cinderella. "Those are for eating better. They have special diets, just like Susie." "Special diets? This is unusual for a 6-year-old to talk about." "Like what? What do they eat?"
"Animals, silly."
She shook her head, still coloring.
"Well, we eat animals, but we don't have pointy teeth," Danny points out. "See?"
He gave a goofy smile, displaying his omnivorous teeth. He thought she'd find it funny, but instead, Penny sighed, seemingly annoyed.
"I'm done coloring now."
She pushed the coloring books away from her, self-consciously closing the book she drew in.
"That's okay. We don't have to color anymore. What should we do now?"
"Let's bake cookies," Penny said.
This actually sounded pretty good to Danny, as he had a massive sweet tooth. This was made obvious through his rotund figure.
"I love cookies!"
"Huh, this gig has actually proven to be more fun than I thought it would be." The two dig out a cookbook. They add all the ingredients, making delicious-looking dough. Danny can't wait any longer to try it. He takes a small scoop and tastes it.
"Tastes great so far. And for the last step, the chocolate chips, if you please."
Danny put out his hands for Penny. She dropped the chocolate chips in Danny's cupped hands, an oddly menacing grin on her face. Danny felt a tickle on his hand and looked down, confused.
"Ah!"
he shrieked, dropping 24 little brown beetles all over the counter, some landing in the cookie batter. Penny shrieks in laughter and high-fives the empty space Susie resided in.
"Hey, now, little missy!"
Danny tried to sound stern, pointing a finger in an act of authority. "That was not nice, not nice at all. Don't do a thing like that again, or, there'll be consequences. Now I'm going to wash up in the restroom." Danny realized he had to pee anyway and breathed a sigh of relief, closing the bathroom door behind him. This is the one place he could get some relief from Penny. He took a few deep breaths to calm himself, then lifted the toilet seat to relieve himself. He's immediately confused as splashes bounced off the toilet and hit his shoes, pants, floor, counter, everything. "What on—" Danny sighed, exasperated. "Plastic wrap on the toilet." He zipped his pants and cleaned up, beginning to regret his decision to take this job. He saw a shadow under the door and heard giggles, then the quick pitter-patter of feet running away. Danny flung the door open, sounding more serious than he ever had before. "Penny, this is getting completely out of hand. I will not tolerate this kind of pranking." Penny's laughter turned into pouting as her big green eyes welled up with tears and her lip quivered.
I'm sorry, Mr. Danny. We'll stop those kinds of pranks. Please don't yell at us."
"Okay, girls," he swallowed, remembering to include Susie. "Just don't do it again." Penny nodded vigorously. She quietly thought for a moment. Then Penny's eyes lit up.
"Want to play a game with us?" Penny said sweetly.
Danny immediately felt bad for yelling at her. She's just a little girl. She didn't mean any harm. She probably saw it on TV and thought it would be fun. "Sure, I'll play a game with you." Penny grins ear to ear and scurried off into the other room. Danny slumped on the couch and turned the television on. He found the movie Pocahontas on cable and stopped there. A few minutes later, Penny returned with Candyland, a classic. She opened the box, but Candyland wasn't inside. Instead, she pulled out a dark, rectangular wooden board. The alphabet was scrawled across it in large capital letters. Danny, being a sheltered Catholic lad, had no idea that this was, in fact, a Ouija board.
"Ah, are we playing school? Okay, will you be the teacher?"
Penny snickered.
Sure, I'll be the teacher."
She did air quotes around the word teacher.
"We'll start the day by singing a song. Okay? Okay, repeat after me."
She sang a song in tune to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Danny repeated, oblivious.
"Mom and Dad have gone away. Mom and Dad have gone away. Susie Q, come out to play. Susie Q, come out to play. There's no need for you to hide. There's no need for you to hide. Now that neighbor boy's inside. Now that neighbor boy's inside. Susie Q, come out to play. Susie Q, come out to play. Show us all yourself today. Show us all yourself today."
"Did you make that song up on the spot? Because that was really—"
"Sound out the words now, children," she interrupted him.
Penny's hands moved along the letters with the planchette, which Danny assumed was a magnifying glass.
D-A-N-N-Y. Danny. L-O-O-K. Look. U-P. Up. Danny, look up!"
He looked up, and his excitement turned to shrieks of terror, and Pocahontas' eyes turned black and massive. Her teeth grew pointy, and skin turned a pale white. She shrieked, looking directly through the television screen at Danny, breaking the fourth wall. It was as if Penny's coloring book had come to life.
Ah!
Danny screamed, high-pitched squeals. In the blink of an eye, Pocahontas returned to the screen, as if nothing happened. The lights brightened in the room again. Penny was doubled over on the floor, laughing with tears streaming down her eyes. Danny swallowed, gasping for air.
What was that? Susie? That's what your friend looks like?"
Penny said she had no idea what Danny meant, and he must have had a bad dream.
"I was never asleep. I've been awake this whole time." "Whatever you say, pudgy boy."
Penny rolled her eyes. Danny started to calm down.
"Huh.
Maybe I did somehow fall asleep. There's no way any of that happened. Yeah, I must have had a nightmare while she was getting her board games. Penny started jumping up and down.
Okay, now let's play hide and seek. You're it first. Count to 10. No peeking.
She ran off to hide, motioning to her invisible friend to come with her. Danny took a few deep breaths to calm his still pounding heart and began to count out loud. 8, 9, 10. Ready or not, here I come. I'll continue with our story, Why Are You So Possessed With Me, in just a moment. If you feel stuck at home with nothing to do but watch the news about the coronavirus, you might be creating unhealthy stress, not just for yourself, but others around you. Maybe it's time to change your routine up and take a break from the constant negativity of world news. Get some exercise. Be experimental in the kitchen or work on a hobby. Reconnect with friends or family members over the phone or online. And make sure you're getting plenty of rest. Don't let stress overtake you. We got this, weirdos.
Want to win a free Weird Darkness prize pack? Every Saturday is Post-Share Saturday. If I draw your name, you'll win a Proud to be a Weirdo t-shirt, along with 2 Weird Darkness stickers and an old-time radio Come Into the Darkness magnet. How do you enter to win? It's easy. Every week, I create a new Facebook post that's pinned to the top of the page at facebook.com/weirddarkness, where you can share it on your own profile and pages and groups to be in the random weekly drawing. This week's winner was Willie Adkins from DeKalb, Illinois. A new winner is chosen every week. Share as many times to as many pages as you wish. You can enter right now while you're listening. Just share the post from the top of the page at facebook.com/weirddarkness and be sure you share it publicly so I can see your name. Otherwise, I won't be able to put you into the drawing. That's facebook.com/weirddarkness. Danny started walking down the hallway. He thought he heard giggles at the end of the hall. He passed 2 other rooms before he got to the last door, still hearing some giggles seemingly coming from it. The giggles stopped as he got closer. She must have heard him approaching. A door creaked behind him. He whipped around and crept through the doorway to his right, where he heard the closet door creak.
"You have to learn to be more sneaky, Penny. I wouldn't have found you so fast if the door didn't..."
Danny throws the closet door open, and it creaked even louder than before. He saw a pair of pale legs behind the clothes hanging and snickered, shaking his head at this obvious hiding place.
"Oh, well, I guess you weren't in here after all."
He closed the door and made footstep sounds to mimic walking away. He waited for little Penny to come out so he could scare her. The door slowly inched open and stopped. Long, bony, white fingers curled around the edge of the door, catching in the moonlight. Danny gulped. A black, sunken eye peered out from behind the door, and Danny froze. It was the girl from behind the TV screen, the girl from the coloring books. He shrieked a piercing shriek and pushed the closet door closed with the demon silently slinking back inside. He ran to see Penny, slapping her knees in a fit of laughter. "Penny, go to your room. Please, I need to..." Danny's anger softened as he came up with an idea. "To think of my next place to hide. Go wait with Susie." Penny, surprised at how calm and cool Danny was acting, scurried off to the room and closed the door behind her, still struggling to contain her laughter. "I didn't sign up for this," Danny thought. "This is not what I had in mind when going to babysit the neighbor. What am I supposed to do? I could back out now. I could just leave and forfeit the money and the reputation. I need to get the hell out of here." Looking down, a newly yellow spot on his shoe caught his eye. Danny exhaled, new determination rising in his chest. "I will get those new shoes. I'll finish this job, damn it, or my name isn't Daniel Pierpont Peterson."
"You better find your hiding spot, Mr. Danny. Susie and I are coming to get you."
A hint of malice was in her voice, or was it just his paranoia? Danny gulped, terrified. He had to think quick. Danny grabbed the Hughes laptop off the desk and ran off to the master bedroom.
To his luck, he noticed a small built-in cupboard inside of the walk-in closet for extra storage. He closed the closet door, locked it, and squeezed into the cupboard with the laptop. He heard Penny's voice in the distance, "Ready or not, here we come!" Danny opened the laptop and frantically got the search engine running. How to get rid of demon, he typed.
Demons often find a lonely soul and take advantage. If you have a demon issue and try to address it yourself, this could be extremely dangerous and things could get much worse within the household. Trying to fix a demon problem without a professional is much like trying to fix the transmission of your car when you are not a mechanic. However, it's very important to rid the home of this presence. Demons often possess people and take a pleasure in causing fear and chaos in others. In order for a demon to properly be exiled, one must face the demon during possession within a host and convince it to leave.
Great. So, I have to get it to possess somebody? Danny heard footsteps in the distance. Danny, come out wherever you are! Penny's voice got nearer. He peeked out of the cupboard and saw her shadow from under the door. The closet handle jiggled. Penny sounded disappointed. The door is locked. Susie, that's your cue. Danny continued to watch as the lock slowly turned counterclockwise and the door swung open. Shaking, Danny decided to face Penny and her special friend. He knew this wouldn't get any better if he would continue squealing and trying to run. Well, you caught me. The demon was towering over him, its long black hair dangling in separated locks. Penny was holding its hand. Danny tried to sound pleasant. Are you girls hungry? Why don't you play here in the closet while I fetch us all a snack? I'll come with you, Penny said. Susie needs to be alone to eat. Okay. Danny and Penny stepped out of the closet and began to close the door. Just then, Danny felt something brush up against his leg and looked down to see a pretty orange tabby cat nuzzling his shins, purring loudly. I didn't know you had a kitty cat, Penny. Who's a pretty kitty? He bent down to pet the cat. Penny looked uncomfortable, then left the room yelling, I'll preheat the oven! A loud groan came from behind the closet door. Danny concealed his shudder as best as he could. Susie motioned to the cat through the crack in the door. Oh, do you want the kitty, Susie? Susie nodded her head, expressionless, never blinking. As creeped out as Danny was, he tried as he might to appear calm and collected. Just before he left the cupboard in the closet, he read the demons feed off fear and weakness. He knew he had to at least try to be strong. He picked up the cat, petting its belly slowly and carefully passing it to Susie. You want to pet the pretty kitty too? See how nice... Oh, dear God! In one gaping bite, the demon devours the cat. What in God's name? No, 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 no! No, bad demon! Danny slammed the closet door in Susie's face and bolted out of the room. What's wrong? Penny asked, concerned. Danny laughed nervously. Wrong? Nothing's wrong. Who said something was wrong? Nothing's wrong. Everything's great. Great. Yep. You're really weird, Penny said. I'm weird? I'm weird? You have a demon as your best friend, and it just ate your pet. Penny was quite undisturbed. Is that what you meant when you said your drawings eat animals? Just eat them up whole? How many pets have you gone through to keep up with this sick habit? Her name is Susie, and she is my best friend. For saying those mean things, I'm going to make her put a curse on you. Penny stormed out back towards the master bedroom. You're going to regret this. She slammed the door in a huff. What in the hell have I done? Oh, sweet mother, I can't handle this alone. Danny whipped out his phone, frantically texting his two closest confidants for backup. They hastily agreed to come help him. 15 minutes went by, and it was eerily quiet in the house, aside from the distant barking of the neighbor's ill-behaved dog. Danny wondered how long the girl and her demon would stay in the closet. He fidgeted on the couch, waiting for either the curse to be unleashed or his friends to arrive. They're probably doing some voodoo or chanting ominous chants or something. He shuddered at the thought of what they could possibly be planning to curse him with. Pacing, Danny stopped in front of a mirror by the front door. How much worse can it get? His eyes glanced over his baby cheeks and pot belly, pimples and braces, hand-me-down clothes, and now urine-stained shoes. I mean, at least I have a girlfriend. Right then, Danny heard the rumble of a car engine outside. Relieved, he ran outside to meet Doug and Rhonda. Doug was Danny's closest friend since grade school, whose physique made Danny look like a stud. He had a greasy bowl cut, thick round glasses, a bulbous nose, and was thin as a rail. He wore tall white socks with Velcro sandals and oversized shoes with a polo tucked in. It was hard for him to find clothes that fit. Rhonda, on the other hand, was drop-dead gorgeous. Their classmates teased her for dating Danny, but she shrugged them off. There was something quirky about his charm that she fell for. She was tall and full-figured and always wore modest yet form-fitting clothes. Her blonde, wavy hair bounced as she walked. She looked like a movie star from the 1940s, doe-eyed and innocent, yet feisty and strong. "My poor baby, are you all right?" Rhonda buried Danny's face into her chest in an act of comfort and protection. Doug sighed, too used to standing by while his best friend was showered with affection. He often imagined being in Danny's shoes and having a knockout like Rhonda. Danny never seemed to understand just how lucky he was to have such a catch. Embarrassed, Danny wriggles out of Rhonda's embrace like a schoolboy does with his mother. "I'm fine, Rhonda." He straightened his shirt. He took a breath. "Thanks for coming, you two." The three went inside the house. It was still too quiet. Danny sat back down on the couch, ready to make a game plan. "Did you bring the books?" Doug nodded. He unzipped his bags and struggled to pull out two hefty books entitled So There's a Demon in Your House and How to Send the Family Demon Back to Hell. He dropped them on the coffee table with a thud. "Perfect," Danny said. "You got the doll?" Rhonda reached into her large purse and gingerly pulled out a Cabbage Patch doll. She looked sad but proud. She kissed the doll on the forehead and softly said, "You'll die a hero, old friend." She wrapped it in a hug, then gently placed it on the table, a tear glistening in her eye. Danny patted her knees as if to say, "I know how hard this must be for you." Rhonda nodded, understanding this must be done. They dove into the books, and about 15 minutes later, a game plan had been made. It was still quiet in the house. "Okay, so Rhonda, you have the toughest job. But Susie seems to like listening to girls more, so you must convince the demon to possess the doll in an attempt to prank me again. It really seems to like that." He shuddered. "Doug, you help me get Penny out here. She's going to fight us when she finds out what we're trying to do. Seems pretty attached to that thing." Doug nodded fervently. "Take this with you in case we get split up." Danny handed a baby monitor over to Rhonda. "I found them in a drawer when I was looking for something to kill the beetles with." They both looked at him, confused. "It's a long story, no time to explain. Follow me." The three tiptoed into the master bedroom. Danny motioned to the closet door, as if to say they're in there. Doug and Rhonda nodded, fearful looks on their faces. Rhonda held her doll as a shield at arm's length. Danny mouths, "One, two, three," and flung the door open, tensing up to prepare to see nothing. "But they were just—" A loud crash interrupted him, and the three jumped. The sound came from the other side of the house. "Rhonda, you stay on this side. Doug and I'll go investigate the noise. Keep your monitor on." Danny grabbed her by her tiny waist, pulling her in for a dramatic kiss. Doug rolled his eyes, sighing. "I love you, Schmoops," Danny said.
"I love you too, Dansy Poo."
She clutched the monitor in one hand and held it near her ear. In her other hand, she gripped the doll to her chest, then nodded at them, assuring them that she'd be okay, sending them off. Danny took a deep breath and led the way out of the room. Doug followed behind him, breathing loudly, clearly fearful. The two saw an expensive-looking vase broken on the floor of the kitchen. They exchanged glances. "Anybody out here?" Danny asked, opening each cabinet door to see if anyone was hiding inside.
"Nothing."
They moved on to the living room. Danny looked behind the curtains, Doug still cowering behind him. He shook his head. No sign of Penny or Susie. It was eerily quiet. Danny lifted the monitor up to his mouth. "Rhonda, any sign of life forms?" Rhonda replied,
"No, it's dead quiet over here."
"Here too," Danny said, sighing. "Stay there, we'll keep looking." He moved towards the foyer.
peering out the front window, curious if something spooked Penny and sent her outside. A noise to his right broke his focus. "Did you hear that?" Danny turned towards Doug. Doug gulped and nodded his head feverishly. The two made their way towards the front bedrooms. Danny pushed the one door open, revealing a girly pink room with flowers on the walls and frills on the curtains. A muffled sob came from inside the closet. "What is with this house and closets?" "Are you okay in there?" Danny pulled the closet door open slightly. He then saw Penny, rocking back and forth, crying. "What's wrong? What happened?"
I broke the family vase, and I don't know where Susie is. She's always with me, and now she's not here. I must have made her mad. Have you seen her?"
Danny and Doug exchanged nervous glances, shaking their heads.
Who's that?"
Penny pointed to Doug. Muffled noises came from the baby monitor. Danny pulled it closer to his ear to decipher any sounds coming through. Rhonda's voice came through.
"Danny, that's not funny."
Another muffle sounded.
"I mean it, stop that."
Rhonda felt a cold tap on her shoulder, turning to find no one there. In the past few minutes, this had happened twice more. She gripped the monitor tighter.
"Danny, please, don't play these jokes on me."
Her breathing grew heavy and shaky.
"Rhonda, I promise I'm not doing a thing, but listen to me. Everything's going to be okay. Just remember your job in this. You can do it."
Anxiety surged through Rhonda as she understood the weight of her task. As fight or flight overcame her, she bolted towards the door, trying to escape. It slammed shut before she reached it. Heart pounding, she turned around, trying to find the source of this torture.
"Please, stop this now,"
she says to the evil in the room.
I just want to help you."
When Weird Darkness returns, we'll continue with our story, Why Are You So Possessed With Me? What makes someone kill not only innocent people, but sometimes the very people who loved and trusted them? What imagined wrongs could drive a deluded individual to seek revenge by taking another person's life? What lengths will people go to get what they want? Murderous Minds, Volume 2, Stories of Real-Life Murderers That Escaped the Headlines, is the latest offering in a series that takes you inside the life of killers who committed cold-blooded murder for a glimpse at events that drove them to kill. Each tale is sordid, twisted, and worthy of newspaper headlines. By weaving a tale in which dark fantasies turned reality, this book invites you to see life from a perspective few ever witness, that of the killer. Paired with an in-depth account of each case, it will be a nightmarish journey to the darkest reaches of the mind of these real-life murderers. Murderous Minds, Volume 2, written by Ryan Becker, narrated by Weird Darkness host Darren Marlar. Hear a free sample on the audiobooks page at WeirdDarkness.com. Our next Weirdo Watch Party is Friday, April 10th, 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me at EerieLateNight.com and watch horror host Bobby Gemonster as he presents the 1968 Peter Cushing film The Blood Beast Terror. While we watch the movie online, we can hang out with Weirdo family members in the chat room and make snide and snarky remarks about the film and about Bobby Gemonster, because, come on, let's face it, he's a horror host. He has it coming. Not only is it always a lot of fun, but it also supports the undead creative horror hosts who still like to entertain us with old scary movies. So be sure to set a reminder on your phone or put it on your online calendar, whatever you have to do so you don't miss it. It's Friday, April 10th, 7 p.m. Central Time. That is a week from this coming Friday. 7 p.m. Central Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Mountain. Friday, April 10th at EerieLateNight.com. That's EerieLateNight.com. The floor creaked slowly, though Rhonda hadn't moved another inch. Clutching her doll tightly to her chest, she held her breath as the curtains flew out as if a giant gust of wind rushed through the windows. There was only one problem with that. The windows
were closed. The curtains lingered, suspended in the air. The air in the room fell dense and thick. Rhonda thought she might be sick. Losing her strength, her doll fell to the floor. She backed into the closet, closing the door in front of her, holding it shut tight. She inhaled deeply, muttering to herself, "This is just a dream. It's just a dream. Breathe, Rhonda girl. You're safe here. Just breathe." Her eyes fixate on a rusty-colored dot on the carpet. "Is that..." Before she could finish her thought, she felt a cold digit tap her shoulder again. Rhonda whips around. Towering over her was Susie, pointy-toothed mouth latched open, corners upturned in a wicked smile, eyes black and never-ending. A blood-curdling scream made the monitor spark in Danny's hand. "Rhonda!" he called out, dropping the monitor on the floor. It was smoking and charred. Danny gulped. There's silence for a moment. Danny, Doug, and Penny stood frozen in the girlish bedroom. There was a crackle on the monitor. Shocked it was still working, Danny dropped to the floor to listen, hoping to communicate with Rhonda. "Danny?" There was a hard breathing coming through. "Yes?" Danny hoped Rhonda was okay. Her voice sounded like her, but a little gruff. I'm going to eat you now." "She says that because she thinks I'm cute enough to eat," Danny explained out loud, blushing. "No, no, I'm going to eat you up because you're cute enough." "No!" The sharp bite of her tone sent a shiver down the spines of those listening. She cleared her throat. "I mean, come over here, my sweetie pie." Overcome with bashfulness, Danny gathered back to his seat, giddy and slightly embarrassed at the sudden display of affection. "You two just stay right here. I'm going to make sure Rhonda can stay focused on the task at hand." He tried to sound serious, but couldn't help but giggle. Doug rolled his eyes. Of course this would happen to him. His friends would be off making kissy faces at each other, and he'd be stuck with the evil 6-year-old girl. Danny hurried back across the house where his love was waiting for him. He saw the doll on the floor in the master bedroom. He became concerned. "Rhonda, where are you? You dropped your doll."
"In here, my darling,"
Rhonda's voice called out from the closet. Danny laughs. "What are you doing in there, silly? We don't exactly have time to play around with." The closet door opened shyly. "Rhonda, you know how much I'd love to stop and kiss you right now, and you know you're just so beautiful with your... Danny blinked, noticing Rhonda's face. Her eyes have sunken into big black holes. Her smile was from the depths of hell. "You're possessed!" She lunged at him, sinking her razor-sharp teeth into his arm. He screamed, trying to fight her off. He pushed her back into the closet, slamming the door. "Help! Help! Help!" he called. He slammed the bedroom door behind him and held it shut. Penny and Doug scrambled over to Danny. Doug had one of the big books in his hand, positioned over his head, ready to fight. Penny stomped up to Doug. "You can't hurt Susie like that!" Danny intervened. "You can put the book down, Doug. There's a better way to do this." He turned to Penny. "Penny, does your dad have any rope around?" She nodded. "What about a Bible?" She nodded again. "Don't worry, Penny. We're going to get your best friend out of my girlfriend." Danny heard Rhonda's sweet voice, seemingly confused.
"Danny?"
She pressed up against the door, Danny still holding it shut.
"What happened?"
"You're possessed."
"Oh, dear. I'm so sorry. How horrible. Oh, Danny, I'm scared. Please let me out,"
Rhonda pleaded.
"Schmoopsy, you know I'd love that more than anything, but how do I know this isn't a trick?"
Danny stopped to think. "Tell me something only you would know."
"Well, your favorite color's blue."
"That's too easy. You could have guessed that."
You have to hum when you pee because you're shy about the noise."
"Okay, that's good enough.
And you sleep with a stuffed animal bunny named Sir Hopsalot, and..."
"That's good enough!" He opened the door, embarrassed. Rhonda rushed to his arms.
"Oh, Danny, hold me and never let go."
He embraced her, closing his eyes, taking in her flowery smell.
"Rhonda, I'm so sorry to make you face that alone. I promise this can be over for you right now. You'll be safe the rest of the night."
"I'm sorry, Schmoopsy. I feel just awful. I'm supposed to protect you." The demon slinks out of the master bedroom behind her as Danny talks, the wicked gaping grin on its face. Doug tried to warn Danny, whose eyes were still closed, but in his terror, he lost his voice. He simply points, shaking. Penny snickers at Doug's fear.
"Rhonda, your skin got so cold,"
Danny says as the demon steps back inside of her body.
He opens his eyes, noticing Penny's laughter turn to fear. Penny screamed, never having seen her Susie possess someone else before. She ran from the room, hiding. Susie blankly stared through Rhonda's newly black eyes in Doug's direction, smiling the toothy, evil grin and sinking her teeth into Danny's shoulder. Ugh! Danny pushed Rhonda off of him, grabbing his shoulder, which was bleeding heavily. He screamed, seeing his once beautiful girlfriend's face contorted into the face of pure evil. "Where's Penny? We need the Bible and the rope!" A loud growl escaped Rhonda's throat at the word Bible. She lunged at Danny, looking to sink her teeth into him a third time. Adrenaline pushed Doug to be courageous. He leapt, tackling Rhonda to the ground, his elbow around her neck, trying to restrain her long enough for Danny to get away. It looked as though he were wrestling an alligator the way he was being flung around. "How long can you hold her there?" Danny yelled, backing away quickly. Rhonda was bucking to get Doug loose, but his bony arms were locked tightly around her neck. "Maybe two more minutes, if we're lucky," Doug huffed back. "I have a plan. Stay there. She needs to eat," Danny called behind him. "Hurry!" Doug shouted. Danny stepped outside, racking his brain, trying to figure out what Rhonda could eat to get her away from them long enough to plan an attack. A high-pitched barking made it hard for Danny to focus. "Shut up!" he yells at the incessant barking. "I need to think of something alive! Something... oh no!" Shaking, Danny walks up to the fence where the annoying Chihuahua is yipping and jumping, snarling at him as he gets closer. "Nice doggy. Easy. Easy." He plucks the dog from behind the fence, quickly sneaking back into the house. "Oh, Susie, you hungry? I got you something." Rhonda's body writhed around on the ground, twisting her head to look at Danny and snarl, foaming at the mouth. She chomped twice, mimicking eating. In her excitement, she banged her head against Doug's, knocking him out. "Follow me, Rhonda. Come get your dinner." Danny rushed to the walk-in closet where Susie devoured the cat earlier. The dog was wiggling and snarling, nipping his wrists as he carried her. He gently tossed the dog into the closet, Rhonda diving in after it. He slammed the closet shut and pulled a nightstand in front of the door, buying them more time. He shivered at the thought of what he just did, but knew there was no other way. Danny ran into the bathroom to dress his wounds. He winced as the rubbing alcohol washed away the blood, staining his shirt pink where the runoff absorbed. He hurriedly put gauze on his shoulder and his arm and found some medical tape to hold it down. Having taken care of himself, Danny shifted his attention to his unconscious friend. He rushes to Doug, who was still lying on the floor where Rhonda headbutted him. "Damn it, Doug!" He picked Doug up and carried him, searching for the rope and Bible Penny said was around. He ripped through drawers with Doug draped over his shoulder. "Bible! Bible!" He came to a bookshelf. "Please be here," he thought. There were numerous thick books with leather-bound covers, any of which could be a Bible. Doug blinked awake. Danny felt him lift his head, stirring. "Oh, good! You're up!" Danny dropped Doug to the floor. "Ow!" Doug whined. "Sorry," Danny said. "Help me find a Bible, quick!" The sound of a doorknob jiggling sent Danny's heart to his stomach. They heard an aggravated groan from the closet Rhonda was locked up in. The boys exchanged a nervous look. "Just grab as many as you can hold and follow me." They ran, Doug stumbling as he struggled to regain his strength, what little of it he had. Danny opened the door to the garage and flipped the light switch. The bulb was burnt out. "Oh, come on!" They closed and locked the door behind them. It was dark and damp. Doug shivered. Danny grabbed his phone from his pocket and turned on the flashlight. "I need to find a rope, Doug. Flip through those books. One is bound to be a Bible." Danny flashed his light around the garage, trying to find some rope. His phone buzzes in his hand. Battery life? Critical. Phone will power off in... It began to count down from 10. Crap! Frantically, he looked around, and just before his phone turned off, he saw a pair of eyes staring back at him in the dark. He shrieked, making Doug jump out of his skin. "It's me, you idiot!" the snobby six-year-old voice snapped. She flipped on a flashlight, holding it under her face. "Boo!" Danny was furious. "Why didn't you have that on the whole time?" "Well, when your door opened, I wasn't sure who was going to be coming through it, so I turned it off." "Are you telling me you're scared of your so-called best friend?" "Well, she's not my best friend when she's someone else." Penny mimicked a creepy stance and shuddered. A thought occurred to Danny. "Why hasn't she," he wondered, "done that to me?" Penny finished his thought somberly. "Because I told her I'd let her take care of me.
I promised her over 150 years ago that I wouldn't abandon her, and I meant it. In return, she's been a friend to me, never hurting me. She protects me. We met in my first life."
She paused to elaborate.
"Oh, this is my third."
Penny continues,
"When my first mother died, I was only 12 and had just become an orphan. My first father died just before I was born. Yellow fever took him from us. I did all I could to hide from the social workers who would otherwise put me in an orphanage if they found out I had no home. I just couldn't think of being anywhere without my mother, even after death. So I spent the nights in the cemetery, hiding behind her gravestone. That's where I slept. I started speaking out loud to my mother's spirit, trying to keep myself company. I hoped she would hear me. I was horribly sad and in a dark place, and one day, a voice answered me. But it wasn't my mother, it was Susie. She said she'd been waiting to care for someone like me for a long while. She was a lost soul. She was a mother, brutally murdered with her child. Her child was my age. She dealt with unrest after death and harbored much anger. We talked every night. She showed me compassion, understanding for my pain. After a couple weeks, she asked if she could reveal herself and pleaded that I not get scared. She told me how her husband had killed her, that he gouged her eyes out, and that she was a frightening sight to see. She said she'd protect me from anything bad, and she said one day she would be beautiful again. I think that's why she likes your girlfriend so much."
She pointed at Danny.
"Susie's been with me all this time. She makes me laugh. We're very attached, but I always hoped to be just myself one day, discover who I really am, but I've never told her that."
Wow. Danny doesn't know what to say.
"Can we help free you, Penny?" Doug asks.
He knew what it was like to lose a mother.
"Susie may be your friend, but she's not your mother, and we can't let her take Rhonda. Let us help you both."
Penny's eyes well with tears as she suddenly became scared to be alone for the first time since she was 12 years old over 150 years ago. Reluctantly, she nods. Suddenly, movement in the house could be heard. Danny's voice grew serious. "Penny, please, tell me the garage is where your dad keeps rope."
"Well, I've seen some in his and Mommy's bedroom, but I know there's some in here, too."
She's back to sounding six again. Danny was glad for the lack of light because his face turned beet red at her comment.
Can I have the flashlight, please? Trying to read here," Doug asked, annoyed.
He was down to his last three books. So far, no Bible. Penny grabbed the rope, threw it to Danny, and walked over to Doug with the flashlight. As he was flipping through the second-to-last book, she pointed to the only one unopened.
"That one."
"Well, that could have been done much sooner," Doug complained, exasperated.
"What about a chair, Penny?"
Danny asked. She points her flashlight to the corner where six metal chairs are folded. He pulled one off the stack, making the others clatter to the floor loudly.
"Oops."
A deep growling, groaning sound came from within the house. All three freeze. Penny begins to sing to the tune of Ring Around the Rosie.
"Susie Q, you know you do love to play."
The door handle jiggles.
"Shh,"
Danny snapped.
"He calls her,"
Penny snipped between verses.
"You know that you can't help but stay. Susie Q, you know you have fun with me."
The lock flips.
"I'm your best friend, just let it be."
The door swung open. The light flickered on, and a sad but sweet smile was on the face of the possessed girl.
"Now!"
Danny and Doug leaped at Rhonda with the rope in hand. She became angry again, scaring Penny, who screamed and ran back into the house. The two teens hoisted Rhonda onto the chair, quickly wrapping the rope around her torso and arms and again around her feet and ankles, securing her to the chair. She struggled, making the chair's feet clatter against the floor. The rubber guards worn down, exposing metal against concrete.
"This is not how I imagined my first bondage experience going,"
Danny thought out loud, shaking his head. "Okay, demon, it's time for you to go back to the hell you came from and give me back my girlfriend."
"Yeah,"
Doug said, the adrenaline rush going to his head. He shoved the book in her face.
"Bible, son,"
he said, getting carried away. Danny waved his hand to bring it down a notch.
"Oh, right."
Doug cleared his throat and flipped the book open, adjusting his glasses.
Demons, demons, demons," he muttered. "And the demons beggeth of Jesus, if he driveth us out, sendeth us into the herd of swine."
His words sounded uncomfortable and forced. As Doug read from the book, Danny swirled his arms about as if he were a sorcerer casting a spell. They both looked at Rhonda questioningly, pausing to see if there was a change.
There was a horrible guttural noise, and the demon sent a wicked glob of saliva across the garage, hitting Doug square in the face. It growled, pointed teeth digging up in some sort of underbite, eyes still wide and never-ending, rocking the chair back and forth, trying to set itself free. "Keep reading!" Danny shouted at Doug, who frantically untucked his shirt to wipe his face with it.
"Ugh, fine."
He flips several pages.
"Dad, do you think Rhonda's still in there? Do you think she can hear us?"
"I hope so. Why?"
"This one's for her. Rhonda, if you're in there, listen, be strong. You can do it."
"Go to hell!" she screamed back.
"Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes."
"Full armor," Danny repeated.
"Come on, Rhonda, you can do this."
Rhonda's eyes rolled back into her head.
Dude, is she stroking out?"
Danny started to freak out.
I don't think so," Doug said.
Rhonda's beautiful brown doe eyes returned.
"Oh, no, it was just some devil shit," Danny said.
"Rhonda, Rhonda, ah!" As he began to say her name, her face contorted again, her neck straining. Her head tipped back and she sounded like she was choking.
"What's happening now?"
Danny freaked out again.
"How the heck should I know? I've never done this before."
Doug strained his voice. Rhonda's head shot up as she projectile vomited, soaking Doug in a frothy bile. Doug stood, frozen still, shocked and disgusted by what had occurred. Moving as little of his body as possible, Doug passed the Bible to Danny.
"Your turn," he sighs. "Okay, let's see."
Rhonda hissed at them, black eyes seemingly growing wider as she writhed in her chair.
"You'll never win. She's mine now."
"Oh, is that so?"
Danny looked down at the page where Doug stopped and read furiously, refusing to stop until he had Rhonda back.
"Taketh up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one."
He continued to read until his throat became dry. Rhonda is bucking around in the chair, her head back, foaming at the mouth and biting at the air.
"In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out!"
A long, deafening shriek came from Rhonda's lips, and her body went limp in the chair. The garage door opened.
Penny? Danny called out. "You can come out."
Danny rushed to Rhonda, untying her from the chair. She was white as a ghost. He picked her up, cradling her head.
"Doug, go get some water for her." Okay, but you owe me for this."
He slowly walked out of the room, socks and sandals squishing.
"Yeah, yeah," Danny replied, waving him off.
Rhonda began to stir.
"Danny, where are we?"
she muttered groggily.
"In the garage. You're safe now, it's okay."
"But what happened? Why do I feel so..."
As she tried to stand, her knees buckled and she collapsed in Danny's arms.
Whoa, take it easy.
What happened is irrelevant now." He didn't want to tell Rhonda that she was possessed by a demon for fear of her going into shock. Doug squished back into the room, carrying a glass of water. Rhonda looked at him and wrinkled her nose.
Doug, you smell disgusting. What'd you get into?"
"Wouldn't you like to know?"
he said, but stopped there, noticing Danny shaking his head no.
"Have some water."
Danny helped Rhonda hold her glass.
"Could I please leave now?"
Doug whined, clearly uncomfortable with his clothes plastered to his body.
"Yes, and please take Rhonda home too. I'll carry her to your car. I'll gather your things before I leave and bring them over later."
Doug pressed the button to open the garage door. Danny placed Rhonda in the passenger seat of Doug's rusty car and closed the door. Doug rolled down the windows, hoping to air out the smell.
"Don't forget my doll,"
Rhonda sighed through the open window, nearly asleep. He waved as they drove away into the night.
What a day. Well, sure glad that's over.
Well, almost. Danny walked back into the garage and stepped back into the house. He headed towards the master bedroom where he last saw the doll on the floor. It was gone. Where'd the doll go? And where did Penny go? Up next, it's the conclusion of our story, Why Are You So Possessed With Me?, when Weird Darkness returns. One in five people will suffer from depression during their lifetime, struggling with constant, recurring feelings of hopelessness, sadness, or anxiety. My own depression began when I was a teenager, which isn't unusual.
70% of youth feel their mental health and that of their peers is their greatest challenge. 1 in 9 students self-report suicide attempts before graduating high school, with 40% indicating their first attempts were made in grade school. Depression is real, but less than 50% of those struggling with it are receiving treatment due to the stigma that it carries, the ignorance of the general public about what depression truly is, and a lack of resources to treat it. But there's good news. There are resources. My friends at ifred.org are shining a positive light on depression and sharing free resources to bring people out of it. You can even create a network of hope via their hope training or even teach hope to kids. Visit ifred.org, the International Foundation for Research and Education on Depression. There you can find information and ideas to end the stigma of depression today. That's ifred.org. Want to receive the commercial-free version of Weird Darkness every day? For just $5 per month, you can become a patron at WeirdDarkness.com. As a patron, you get commercial-free episodes of Weird Darkness every day, bonus audio, and chapters of audiobooks as I narrate them. But more than that, by helping me pay for expenses, you're also helping to reach people who are desperately hurting with depression and anxiety. Get the benefits of being a patron, and benefit others who are hurting at the same time. Become a patron at WeirdDarkness.com. Where did the doll go? And where'd Penny go? Danny realized she never came out when he told her it was safe. He was too preoccupied making sure Rhonda was okay. "Penny?" he called out. There was no answer. He looked in Penny's room. Then he overheard the TV in the living room playing Casper the Friendly Ghost. How fitting. If only this haunting were that pleasant. "Penny, are you okay? I think Susie's gone now. Isn't that great? You get to be you again. You get to figure out who Penny really is." He walked towards the living room, not hearing any response. "Pen, oh, there you are." He saw Rhonda's doll propped up on the couch. He heard a noise behind him and turned around, expecting Penny. She's not there. "Penny, come out now, it's okay. I know it's scary being alone, but no one's ever really alone. Heck, I feel lonely all the time." "But that probably doesn't help you much at all." He scanned the room, turning back around, stopping as he saw the doll, now sitting on the arm of the couch, about 4 feet from where it was just a second ago. "Penny, this isn't funny. If you're mad at me, let's just talk. That's what normal people do." "It's okay, I don't expect you to know that." Another soft noise caught his attention. He turned around again. No one's there. "Penny, please, stop hiding." He turned to look at the clock. It read 10:15 already. "Crap. Your parents will be home any minute. Please." Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the Cabbage Patch doll, now positioned on the coffee table. He slowly turned to look at it, shaking. Somehow it was balanced on its own 2 feet. "Penny?" The doll slowly, eerily tilted its head. Before Danny could react, the doll flung itself into the air and onto Danny. He shrieked, collapsing to the floor, fighting to push the doll off him. It was quite the comical sight to see a nearly grown man wrestle with a baby doll. Danny didn't notice the front door open. Mr. and Mrs. Hughes came in to find Danny wiggling around on the floor with the doll in his arms. They exchanged confused glances. "Danny?" He froze, staring up at them from the floor. "Oh, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Hughes. Did you have a nice time?" He laughed nervously. He stood up and the doll fell lifeless to the floor with a thud. "Oh, it was lovely. Thank you so much for watching our sweet little girl. Speaking of Penny, where is she?" Mrs. Hughes paced around, looking. Danny laughed nervously. She's right over there." He pointed behind them, trying to buy a little time. They turned around, and as they did, Danny saw a translucent, white mist flow across the room, slowly morphing into the face of the demon. The face smiled, and did it just wink at me, Danny thought. Danny saw the mist wave, not at him, but towards somewhere across the house, and disappear out the window. "Very funny, Danny," Mrs. Hughes turned back around. Danny looked in the direction where Susie just waved.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Danny, where is our little girl?
See, well, there was this thing and...
What kind of thing? What does that even mean? Frank, I'm getting scared.
Mrs. Hughes gripped her husband's arm, worried.
She seemed to have disappeared after my friends went home.
You had friends over? What did you think this was? A free pass to party while neglecting our little girl?
No, of course not.
Danny wrung his hands, unsure what to do.
I'm sorry.
Mrs. Hughes began to sob on Mr. Hughes' shoulder.
Now, Sadie, we must look around before we get too carried away. Let's look. Danny, I trust you'll help with this.
Yes, of course.
His heart sank down into his stomach.
How could I have done this? What could I have done differently?
Mr. Hughes goes towards the master bedroom. Mrs. Hughes begins searching in the living room. Danny goes towards Penny's room. He searches high and low, turning over large pillows, digging through the closet, under the bed. He checks in the bathroom cupboard and behind the shower curtain. All three meet again in the kitchen, no one having found Penny. Now, both Mr. and Mrs. Hughes are clearly distraught. A noise erupts from under the kitchen cabinet.
April Fools!
Penny jumped out from inside the kitchen cupboard. Mrs. Hughes clutched her chest, clearly shocked. Mr. Hughes jumps.
Darling, what is this joke?
I told Mr. Danny I wanted to play a trick on you and Daddy for April Fools.
Is that so?
The couple look at Danny, taken aback by how elaborate this joke was and obviously how convincing his acting was. Little did they know his fear was all too real. Danny shrugged shyly.
Yeah, and Danny and I colored, made cookie dough, played games and hide-and-seek, and he scared the monsters away. He's my new best friend.
Mrs. Hughes' face softens.
I see, she sighed.
Danny smiled nervously and shrugged again.
I have a way with kids.
Well, I sure am relieved to hear that you didn't have anyone over and that you spent all your time entertaining our precious girl. She doesn't always understand how some pranks aren't funny to everyone involved, and, well, I mentioned to you to keep an eye on this earlier. Thank you for making this a fun time for her.
Mrs. Hughes turned to her daughter.
Penny, say goodnight to Mr. Danny. Bye, Mr. Danny. Thanks for bringing this doll for me to play with while you were here.
She ran up to hug him, handing the doll to him and said quietly,
Gotcha.
She smirked and snickered before sweetly turning to her parents, who scooped her up in their unsuspecting arms. Mr. Hughes fished out his wallet, handing Danny a $50 bill.
But that's more than we talked about, Danny said, surprised. Well, you're in luck, kid. I don't have change. Enjoy it. You did a great job. Scared the hell out of us, but if Penny's happy, so are we. We'll be calling you again.
Danny shuddered, masking his fear as a chill.
Thank you.
He walked out, doll in hand, books in Doug's book bag, and took a deep breath, preparing for the walk home. Winded, he opened the front door and immediately laid face down on the tile.
Long night, Mrs. Peterson said, peering into the foyer.
You have no idea, Danny said.
Sounds like you earned yourself a new pair of shoes. I'll take you to the mall in the morning if you'd like.
Danny sighed loudly.
What is it? She asked.
You know, I might want to keep them after all.
You're kidding. You've been complaining about those damn shoes every day since you got them from your brother. Why the sudden change of heart?
Mom, I've seen some things tonight. These shoes stepped with me through some dark times. Maybe they're even lucky. I don't want to get rid of them and have something bad happen because of it.
Mrs. Peterson rolled her eyes at his melodrama.
Suit yourself, kiddo, but don't complain when you change your mind in 2 weeks and I'm too busy to take you.
Get up off the floor now, it's dirty.
Danny slowly dragged himself across the house into his room, not wanting to actually get up. He plugged his phone in, wondering how Doug and Rhonda were doing after today's events. His phone lit up and flashed with messages he'd missed over the past hour or so. One in particular caught his attention. It's from Rhonda. Call me when you get this. Danny picked up the phone and dialed.
Hello?
Hi, Rhonda. How you feeling?
I'm all right, just really sleepy now, but I started remembering details from what happened. I'm a little worried about you now. Are you okay?
Danny sighed, a macho tone in his voice.
I'll be fine, Rhonda. I just did what had to be done.
You're so brave, she cooed.
I'm keeping the shoes, Rhonda.
Really? But you hate those things.
Do I, though? After all, they're just shoes. Maybe I thought I needed different ones to feel good about myself. After what happened today, I just feel good being alive and having you as my girl and Doug as my right-hand man.
Oh, Dansy Poo, that's why I love you.
Danny and Rhonda talk for another hour, google-eyed and in love.
I would like my doll back. Would you be a dear and bring it to me?
Sure. How about tomorrow morning?
No, something tells me I need it tonight. I don't think I'll be able to sleep without it. I really need it tonight. Please, Danny, don't say no.
She started to sound hysterical. Okay, I'll bring it over. Don't cry. I know you've had a long day. You need some comfort. I'll bring your doll over.
Oh, thank you, Danny. I'll see you soon.
Of course. Danny put the doll in his backpack. Its powder-scented head poked out from the zippered compartment. He told his mom he'd be back in a bit, and he hopped on his bike. As he rode up the street, taking in the fresh air, a new sense of purpose and joy of life rushed over him. Danny felt invincible in this moment. He passed the Hughes house on the way to Rhonda's. He shook his head in disbelief of all the craziness that occurred that day. As he passed, a white mist slithered behind him and slipped into his backpack. Several blocks later, Danny parked his bike, walking up to Rhonda's door. He knocked. Behind him, the doll's head rotated all the way around, eyes glowing, then fading back. Unknowing, he passed the doll to Rhonda. She hugged it.
Oh, Danny, thank you. I really need this tonight. Ride safe.
She kissed his cheek. Danny rode off. He felt so good, he decided to ride all the way to Doug's house to drop off his books, too, and properly thank him, of course. It was only another 10-minute bike up the road, anyway. Doug opened the door, groggy in his pajama set. He gave a weak smile.
Here to thank me? Doug said slyly.
Actually, yes. You really helped me out today. Don't know how I would have saved Rhonda without you.
It's nothing. I know how much you, love her and all that bull.
Yeah. See you tomorrow?
Sure. Going to the mall for your shoes?
Nah, I decided to skip out on that after all.
Dude, really?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story. I'll explain later. Go get some rest. Maybe take another shower. Man, you still stink.
Jerk. See you tomorrow.
Bye. Danny biked back to his house, at peace knowing everyone he loved was safe and happy. He walked into his home, tossing his now empty backpack to the ground. He walked into his room, changing into his pajamas and sliding into bed, falling quickly into a deep sleep, forgetting about the stress of the day. A long, loud shriek ricocheted off the walls of Rhonda's house. A flock of crows flew off the roof, scared from the sudden noise. They were the only ones that heard it. Why Are You So Possessed With Me? Was written by Mary Eitzenberger, based on an original story by Nicholas Paul Pontosky, specifically to be used in Weird Darkness for this April Fool's Day edition. If you like the podcast, please tell your friends and family about it however you can, and get them to become weirdos too. Do you have a dark tale to tell of your own? Click on Tell Your Story at WeirdDarkness.com, and I might use it in a future episode. Want to keep up with everything Weird Darkness? Be sure to like and follow the Weird Darkness Facebook page so you can stay up to date with everything involving the podcast. Find Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and other links on the contact/social page at WeirdDarkness.com. Also on the website, you can find the Weirdos Facebook group, paranormal and horror audiobooks that I've narrated, the Weird Darkness store, plus you can visit the Hope in the Darkness page if you're struggling with depression, anxiety, or thoughts of suicide. And if you listen to the podcast at your place of employment, which I know is a bit odd right now with the coronavirus situation, but once you get back, I still want to do it. I can give you a shout-out and send a Weird Darkness Weird at Work prize pack to you if you are my monthly winner. You can check that out on the Weird at Work page at WeirdDarkness.com. Weird Darkness theme by Alibi Music. Weird Darkness is a registered trademark. Copyright Weird Darkness 2020. And now that we're coming out of the dark, I'll leave you with a little light. Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. And a final thought by John Green. The darkest nights produce the brightest stars. I'm Darren Marlar. Thanks for joining me in the Weird Darkness. I didn't sign up for this, Danny thought. This is Shut up.